On top of the Cottons appearing to like us, we have actually come by £20, the vicar having bought the rug that looks like a collie dog. Tomorrow we are going shopping in King's Crypt. I am to have a summer dress. Oh, it is wonderful to wake up in the morning with things to look forward to. Now about Scopney. All week we were getting ready for the party. Topaz bought yards and yards of pink muslin for Rose's frock and made it most beautifully. Rose had a real crinoline to wear under the dress. Only a small one, but it made all the difference. We borrowed it from Mr. Stebbins' grandmother, who is 92. It was thrilling when we started to get dressed. Our frocks were laid out on the four-poster. Mine had been washed and Topaz had cut the neck down a bit. Miss Blossom was ecstatic about Rose's. She said, "My word, that'll fetch the gentleman. And I never knew you had such white shoulders. Fancy God giving you that hair but no freckles." Rose went downstairs to find a looking-glass. Father came from the bathroom and went through to his bedroom. The next second I heard him shout, "Good God, what have you done to yourself?" He sounded so horrified that I thought Topaz had had some accident. I dashed into Buff Estate, but stopped myself outside their bedroom door. I could see her from there. She was wearing a black evening dress that she has never liked herself in, a very conventional dress. Her hair was done up in a bun, and she had makeup on. Not much, just a little rouge and lipstick. The result was astounding. She looked quite ordinary, just vaguely pretty, but not worth a second glance. Neither of them saw me. I heard her say, "Oh, Mortmain, this is Rose's night. I want all the attention to be focused on her." I tiptoed back to the bedroom. I was bewildered at such unselfishness, particularly as she had spent hours mending her best evening dress. I knew what she meant, of course. At her most striking, she can make Rose's beauty look like mere prettiness. I heard Father shout, "To hell with that! God knows I've very little left to be proud of. At least let me be proud of my wife." There was a throaty gasp from Topaz. "Oh, my darling!" And then I hastily went downstairs and kept Rose talking in the drawing room. I felt this was something we oughtn't to be in on. And I felt embarrassed. I always do when I really think of Father and Topaz being married. When they came down, Topaz was as white as usual, and her silvery hair, which was at its very cleanest, was hanging down her back. She had her best dress on, which is Grecian in shape, like a clinging grey cloud, with a great grey scarf which she had draped round her head and shoulders. She looked most beautiful, and just how I imagine the Angel of Death. The Cotton's car came with a uniformed chauffeur, and out we sailed. I was harrowed at leaving Stephen and Thomas behind, but Topaz had arranged they should have a supper with consoling sausages. We called for the vicar, which made it rather a squash, what with Rose's crinoline. He is the nicest man, about 50, plump with curly golden hair, rather like an elderly baby, and most unholy. After he'd had a look at us, he said, "Mortmain, your women are spectacular." "I'm not," I said. "Ah, but you're the insidious type. Jane Eyre with a touch of Becky Sharp. A thoroughly dangerous girl. I like your string of coral."